Ephesians chapter number 5, read there in verse number 14. Wherefore he saith, Awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Let's pray. Lord, thank you today. Lord, thank you for having given us. Lord, thank you for allowing us to be here tonight. Lord, I pray you help me now as I preach. Lord, I pray you give me the words to say. Lord, I pray you give me clarity of mind, recall to mind what I've studied. Lord, I pray you'll go smoothly tonight. And we bring across the message, Lord, that you've burdened my heart with. Lord, I pray you help us, help our church. Lord, I pray you get a burden for our community. In Jesus' name, amen. I've gotten to talk to some of you this week, and I really do appreciate the texts and the calls and different things, and I appreciate the prayers more than you will ever know. I've had many people in the church, some of them praying for me, and I really do appreciate that. This is not easy. I told somebody today, preaching to a camera, really not sure who's listening, who's not listening. Not sure if it's helping or not. If people are here and you're preaching to them, you can usually tell. If somebody's listening, you can see the light bulb come on. Well, it's kind of hard to do that when I can't even see you in person. So anyway, it's a little different, but I do appreciate your prayers. It means a lot to me, and I want to thank you for it. I'm going to step away from James just for tonight, just briefly. Don't breathe a sigh of relief just yet. I don't think it's going to be much of an easy message, neither for me, the preacher, or for the listener. But I believe it'll be relevant, and if you'll listen, I believe it'll be a help to you. I'm going to try to answer some questions that I've had myself, as well as others have brought before me, brought to my attention. There's a lot of concern today surrounding this coronavirus and the end times and things of that nature. Many people have referenced Matthew 24 and the pestilence that's mentioned there, verse number 7, and we'll get to that here in a minute. I've done some thinking myself and some wondering myself, and I went back and did some studying today myself, and I'll go ahead and start with this disclaimer. I'm no expert on this. I'm no expert on this eschatology. I'm no scholar. I'm just trying to study. I'm trying to learn what the Bible is teaching us and try to bring it to you today. That's all I'm doing. I'm studying, trying to find the answers from the Bible, and not man's opinion, but the biblical answers, and bring those to you. So please listen. I believe it may be an encouragement to you. I pray it also be a challenge to you. And if you're not saved, you're listening tonight, I pray it scares you to death, and you finally get up and get to do something about your salvation, get saved. Or if you're not saved, pray you get it right. Now, if you are listening in and don't know us very well, you're not a member here, we are premillennial. That means we believe in the literal 1,000-year reign of the Lord upon the earth, and we believe that has not taken place as of yet. We're also pre-tribulational. That we believe that those 1,000 years is preceded by 7 years of a literal 7 years tribulation that will happen after the church has been raptured off the earth, pre-tribulation rapture. There are different views on this topic, but we believe the Bible teaches premillennial, pre-tribulational rapture of the church off this earth into heaven for those 7 years. It says in 1 Thessalonians 5, 9, that he hath not appointed us to wrath. It says in chapter 1, verse number 10, the same book, it says 1 Thessalonians, that Jesus hath delivered us from wrath to come. We are not appointed to wrath. That wrath's not going to come upon us. He's delivered us from that. In many passages in the Bible, you can see the wrath of God that will fall during the tribulation. We are not in that tribulation period now. The church, the saved, are not going to be in that tribulation period. We are not appointed to wrath, and I thank God for that. I'm glad I don't have to be part of that coming up, because it's going to be bad. I don't want to be part of it. Now, we may experience some of those tribulations like we have been talking about in James, but the great tribulation, the 1 7-year tribulation in James, and also mentioned in Daniel, that we are going to look at more here in a minute, the saved in Christ, we're not going to be present for it. I thank God for that. Now, there will be some as tribulation saints, those that get saved during the tribulation, that will be present. Not those that are currently saved this time or those that are currently hearing the gospel this time will not be part of the tribulation saints. And I'll answer that towards the end of why I believe that, what the Bible says. Let me say that louder for those that didn't hear before, that the church of Jesus Christ is not currently in a 7-year tribulation period. Some have mentioned that. Coronavirus is not part of the tribulation. Plain and simple, it's not part of it. Those that are in tribulation will be begging for something like the coronavirus to come back. Trust me. You say, how can you know that? A simple answer is, I know the tribulation is not now because I'm still here. And the Bible teaches that I won't have to be here for those judgments. Like we said a minute ago, amen to that. Thank you, Lord. I don't have to be here for tribulation. So this is not the tribulation because I'm here and I'm older than 7 years old. Okay. Now, many have pointed out in Matthew 24, they look at that as a sign of the end of the world as we know it. Matthew 24, go ahead and turn to Matthew 24, verse number 4. Hold your place there in Ephesians. Matthew 24, verse number 4. I can take you several different passages tonight. I'm not going to have to turn to all of them. But if you will, keep your Bibles open and pay attention. Matthew 24, verse number 4. And Jesus answered, said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places. Now, there are a lot of conspiracy theories floating around right now about the end of the world is at hand because of the coronavirus. These pestilences, there means a disease, a plague, much like the coronavirus. Could this coronavirus be one of those pestilences? Very likely. Very, very much probably is. Probably is, it could be. But it's not the first plague of its kind. It says pestilences, it's plural there. It's not even the worst plague of its kind. There's been worse before. There'll probably be worse to follow. I hope we're not here for it. I don't know if you've seen the earthquakes lately, but many have taken place. Does that mean the world's going to end now? Not necessarily. Earthquakes have happened for centuries. But it also doesn't mean it won't. I personally believe we are seeing today are a lot of things going on that are leading up. The Lord taking us out here. A lot of things building up. Things happen behind the scenes we may not see very easily. Things are taking place, building up, preparing for that great tribulation, paving the way for the Antichrist to come up and take control. We don't know for sure when the Lord is going to come back. We can see that in Matthew 25, 13. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. We cannot predict it. It also says he'll come as a thief of the night, another passage. So he's going to come, we're at least expecting it. That being said, I believe a lot of people nowadays that aren't expecting it. Our nation's in turmoil at the moment, in a day where the liquor stores stay open, as many customers as want to come in, but the church must close. In a world where the abortion clinics are considered essential businesses, but the churches must close. I believe things are starting to line up. Things are taking place. Things are getting out of order or in order for the Lord to take us out of this world. You may be saying, okay, preacher, what's your point? You said the coronavirus may be the pestilence of Matthew 24. You also said that doesn't mean it's the end time. So what is my point? What am I trying to say here? My point is this. We don't know when God's coming back, but it is looking more and more and more like it could be any day now. The point I want to make tonight is, are we back in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5, if I can get there. Ephesians chapter 5, I'm sorry. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 16. Are we redeeming the time because the days are evil? Are we redeeming the time? Are we in the last days? It sure looks like it. When is the Lord going to come call us out of here? I don't know, but it could be any minute now. What are we doing about it? Are we redeeming the time because the days sure are getting evil? This virus has opened up a lot of people's minds and their hearts. It's got people thinking. It's got a lot of people worried. I believe we're running out of opportunities to follow through with the Great Commission. I believe we're running out of time. I believe we're running out of opportunities to spread the gospel. I believe we're running out of time. What are you doing to prepare for it? If I could tell you with confidence that the Lord is coming back tomorrow at noon, if I could say that, I can't. But if I could say that today, what would you do differently between now and then? The truth of the matter is, he very well could. He could call us out here before I finish this message tonight. What are we doing about it? Are we redeeming the time because the days are evil? So the Lord's going to preach just a little while tonight on redeeming the time while we still have it. And I'm no doomsday preacher, doomsday prepper or preacher. I don't jump on all those bandwagons. That's just not me. I believe the Lord is going to come when we are not expecting it. And I'm not about to tell you when that's going to happen. But if we open our eyes, read what the Bible says, and then go look at different things going on in the world today, different news outlets today, become more and more obvious that we are, in fact, getting close to those last days. I'm going to show you a few of those tonight. Look at Revelation and a few different things that will come to pass in the beginning of the tribulation period, some things we know that will take place according to Scriptures, and then point out some things that are already happening now, they're precursors, those things that will come to pass in the tribulation. Again, I'm not here to scare you or do anything like that. I'm just trying to open our eyes to seriousness of our need to hurry up and spread the gospel. It's a need. We need to redeem the time while we still got the time. So there are many different things that are going to happen in Revelation. Number one, we can look at famine. The tribulation period is going to start out with the seven seals being opened. Go ahead and turn to Revelation chapter number 6. Revelation 6. I'll stay here for a few minutes. We're going to go over Revelation chapter 13, I believe it is. Revelation 6 here. I'm going to start there in verse number 1. Each of these seals are going to bring forth more and more judgment and destruction. I'll look at a couple of those seals tonight. Let's go ahead and read the first few four of them. Verse number 1, Revelation chapter 6. It says, "And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, 'Come and see.' And I saw, and behold, a white horse. He that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given to him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. And when he had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, 'Come and see.' And there went out another horse that was red, and power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another, and there was given unto him a great sword. When he had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, 'Come and see.' And I beheld, and lo, a black horse, and he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, 'A measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny, and see thou hurt not the oil and the wine.' And when he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, 'Come and see.' And I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was Death, and hell followed with him. And power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth to kill with sword and with hunger and with death and with the beast of the earth." So the first beast there in the first seal is the Antichrist, right on the white horse. Just like Jesus will later on, the Antichrist coming into power, acting like Jesus riding on his white horse. There's going to come turmoil and trouble, and we'll see more of that in a minute. The Antichrist is going to come into power as a hero. You notice it says he has a bow, but no arrows, yet he's coming forth conquering. He's a tricky individual, coming to deceive. At least for 3.5 years, anyway, he's going to be the hero. Then the second horse is a red horse, and that would be the one with wars. Read some of that over in Matthew 24, even in tribulation, there'll be more and more wars and battle and swords, see nation fighting against nation. Then we get to the third seal and the third beast, and that one's black, and he brings with him economic ruin in the world. So there's going to be a huge economic upset coming to the entire world. We are going to get a small, very small glimpse of that in our nation now, very, very small. And what is everybody doing? We're all panicking. Can you imagine how bad it's going to be when there actually is economic ruin in the world? Can you imagine how much worse it's going to be? And not like now, I lost a little bit of my 401k. Stocks aren't looking so good, but they're going to come back. This is economic ruin. It's all gone. All your money is gone. Everybody's money is gone. Economic ruin. Can you imagine the panic that's going to take place? And we see the fourth beast, the pale horse. What does he bring? He brings famine and death. We think it's bad now. Trouble is coming. Famine is coming. Real famine is coming. You can read the news about supply chain starting to cause trouble and price spikes because of the supply problems in China because of the coronavirus. East Africa had the worst currently has the worst infestation of locusts it has had in 70 years. It's hurting all their crops. No hope of it slowing down. They have very little crops coming forth this year. The locusts are ruining it. East Africa is already experiencing hunger problems and famine in different areas because they're ruined crops, according to the UN. I saw that East Africa is also a major supplier of food, crops, to Asia, mostly China. If they have a problem with the crops, they won't be able to send food to China, and China won't be able to send products around the world. This is happening right now. It's already starting right now. Again, I'm no doomsday preacher. We need to open our eyes. Things are happening right now. See, with famine can take place. Earthquakes will take place. There in verse number 12, "And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood." I'm not going to get into all of that there at the end, the blood moon and all those things, but you can read earthquakes becoming more and more common. In the past 24 hours, read today, in the past 24 hours earlier, there have been 127 earthquakes with a greater than 3.2 magnitude in the last 24 hours. They're becoming more and more common. In 2010, we broke the record, our world record, with 24 earthquakes greater than a 7.0 magnitude. The average is 16. There was two earthquakes today alone in Alaska, one in Big Lake, a 2.5, and one in Point Hope, a 3.1. They're going to continue to become more and more frequent over and over again. During the tribulation, they're going to be more and more frequent. There will be a great earthquake, it mentions, during the Great Tribulation. It's going to come. It's happening. They're getting worse and worse. It's going to continue to get worse and worse. We see earthquakes. We see asteroids. And it sounds crazy. Verse number 13, "The stars of heaven fell into the earth, even as fig tree casteth her untimely figs, when she is shaken with of a when she is shaken of a mighty wind. What is that? The stars of heaven fell into the earth. That's an asteroid. Falling stars falling to the, hitting the earth. Do you realize there is an asteroid? I'm sounding like a crazy person. The asteroid right now headed to earth is going to pass us by this time, thankfully. But it'd be close enough to view with your telescope. It's going to pass by this month, April 29th, between 1.1 and 2.5 miles wide, headed right past the earth. They said if it's a little different in its trajectory years ago, that it could have been, could have had global effects, could have really hurt our planet, global effects of that. It's going to pass within, is that 3.9 million miles from earth, which that sounds like a, sounds like plenty of room, sounds like a long ways away, until you consider the fact that the sun is 91 million miles away. This thing's only going to be 3 million miles away. It's a little close for comfort if you consider the different things going wrong. These things are happening all around us. They've been watching this asteroid since 1998, and at first they didn't know if it was going to hit us or not. They couldn't tell where it was going. But this month, if it would have been headed for us, it would have hit us this month. I'm not worried about any of these things. I'm not trying to convince you to be worried about anything that's going to happen. I just want us to realize how close we are coming to the Lord coming back. These things are not going to happen while the church is here. It's a great tribulation. We don't have to worry about it. We do need to be concerned about how close we are. If the Lord wanted to, that could have been the asteroid mentioned there in Revelation. Could be headed straight here. We could be out of here any day now. Question for you tonight is, are you ready? There's more. We see the government mentioned here in Revelation. We have all heard about the tribulation. There will be formed a one-world government, and the Antichrist will be the ruler over all these things will happen. Famine and earth economic crisis and earthquakes and asteroids hitting the earth. And these are going to come on the scene. And we can read Revelation 13, verse number 1. Go ahead and turn to Revelation 13, 1. And I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns upon his horns, 10 crowns, and upon his head the name of blasphemy. He's going to come up, rise up out of the sea. He's going to come. He's going to take control, going to be leader, going to be the hero for just a little while. He's going to be the ruler. Former British Prime Minister Gordon Brown was quoted just a couple weeks ago as saying, he said this exactly, this is not something that can be dealt with one country, talking about coronavirus. This is not something being dealt with one country. There has to be a coordinated global response. We need some sort of working executive. He's talking about a one-world government. That's what he wanted, a one-world government, and he's wanting one working executive of the one-world government. Plain and simply, that's what he's asking for. He wants one man in charge of the entire problems in the world to take care of the coronavirus. Like I said before, this virus has people saying this. This virus has people contemplating these things, the one-world government. Think about these things. How much easier is it going to be during the Great Tribulation for this to come to pass? It's coming. We see there's going to be war with Christians. Revelation 13, verse number 7. A couple chapters over, chapter 13, verse number 7. And it was given unto him to make, that's the Antichrist, it was given to him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. So there'll be some saved during the tribulation. We can read about that. The Antichrist is going to come. He's going to make war with those that are saved during the tribulation. He's going to make it hard for them to worship, illegal for them to worship. He's going to persecute them. We're seeing steps of that now in our own country, headed that direction. Just as I say this carefully, just this past week, there's a pastor put in jail in Florida for holding services. Now, I'm not saying he was right and everything he did. Don't misunderstand me. I understand both sides of that story. Personally, I feel as long as we're not being called out, in other words, the school is closed, the restaurants are closed, movie theaters are closed, and the churches are closed, sports events, everything else is closed. They're not singling out the church. If they decide to single out the church, they're going to have some hard decisions to make. All that being said, I never thought I would read an article that said a pastor was put in jail for having church. In Virginia now, you can be put in jail for a year or $2,500 fine, one of the two, just for attending a church or a sport event or anything else with more than 10 people. That's not something I ever wanted to see. And not something I ever expected to see in my lifetime. That's not a step in the right direction. Virus or not, that's a step in the wrong direction. We are not headed the right way. Virus or no virus, that should not have ever been on news headlines. See, persecution of Christians will come. We think it's bad now. It's nothing compared to what it will be. We see the one religion that will come to pass. Revelation 13, verse 11, just a couple verses down. And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had 2 horns like a lamb, and he spoke as a dragon. And he exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him, and causes the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. So there's going to come another beast. He's going to be the religious leader, and he's going to cause all religions to join hands together and to worship this Antichrist, the first beast. There's going to be a huge ecumenical movement. All religions will join together and hold hands together and worship of this one false prophet. That is not okay. Cults are joining together. They will be joining together. Those that are supposedly right, joining in with those that are definitely aren't right. There's a reason we are different. There's a reason we don't fellowship all together. There's a reason we're different. Things that are different are not the same. We are not all the same. The Catholic Church today, Vatican News, you can look it up, is reporting that because of this virus, they had a prayer meeting. And there was Muslims and Jews and supposed Christians all joining together for prayer together in Jerusalem to pray for the healing of this virus. Muslims and Jews and supposed Christians all praying together. How does that work? They don't even worship the same God. How does that work? That's wicked. It says in John 14:6, Jesus said to them, I am the way, the truth, and life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. There's one God, one Jesus, one Christ, one way to heaven. We don't join hands together with the Muslim. There's one Jesus, one Savior. Proverbs 11:21 says, though hand join in hand, the wicked shall not be unpunished, but see the righteous shall be delivered. Be careful who you're joining hands with. The day is coming. And do you ever think you'd hear of a Catholic church talking about praying together with Jews and Muslims? We're headed towards what Revelation is talking about. We're taking the beginning steps, precursors to this coming to pass. Years ago, we probably would have never thought that ever happened. It's starting to take place now. We can talk about the mark of the beast. Many like to talk about that. Verse number 16, the same chapter, Revelation 13, 16. And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell, save that he that hath the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. We have heard all about this for a long time now, the mark of the beast. You say, well, what is it? It's a digital currency. Something you have implanted in your right hand or in your forehead, and you have to use it to buy everything. Anything you want to buy, you want to buy food. Anything you want, you have to buy it that way. You're forced to. We are already heading there now. We can use our phones to pay for stuff. We just wave our phone over the card reader, and we pay for your purchase that way. It's rare to use cash now. Because of this virus, I saw where many businesses were refusing to take cash, only using card, which I understand. They want to pass germs back and forth. My point is, they can refuse to take cash. If in the Democrats' stimulus package, that's something there about starting a digital dollar, a universal currency. Thankfully, it was scratched out of the bill before they passed it. They're already starting to experiment with implanting different chips, RFID chips, just under the skin, and has medical information or even bank account information on it. They've talked about using it in kids and tell if they've had their vaccines or not. What a better way to implement the mark of the beast than to force it in a time of pandemic. Just my own thoughts. Just imagine they create a vaccine for this coronavirus, and you get a chip implanted you that lets businesses know whether you can walk through the door or not. Lets businesses know if you've had the vaccine or not. That's not that far. That's not that wild of an imagination. Maybe you have to scan your chip before you're able to open the door. You scan your chip before you're able to make purchases so you don't pass the disease. Will it happen? I don't think it will right now. Definitely not while church is here. Could it happen? Almost definitely. It's not that far-fetched of an idea. We were in Seattle's Children's Hospital. A lot of the doors had something very similar. They had a small place out the door. You had to wave your hand to get the door to open. That way to keep from passing germs back and forth. It makes sense. That's not that far-fetched of an idea. We are getting closer and closer every single day. These things of Revelation coming to pass. Long time ago, these were just far-fetched ideas. No idea how that even take place. We are very close. They're already talking about doing these types of things today. We can look at the sacrifice. Daniel 9:27. It talks about the tribulation time. It says the Antichrist, and he shall confirm the covenant. That's the Antichrist. He shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. Daniel 9:27. I don't know if I said that or not. He shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. In the midst of the week, he shall cause a sacrifice and the oblation to cease. And for the overspreading of the abomination, he shall make it desolate, even to the consummation that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. His verse in Daniel is talking about the Antichrist. Now we will confirm the Abrahamic covenant with Israel, allow them to sacrifice again. And halfway through, it says in the midst there, in the halfway through the tribulation, he's going to turn his back on them. He's going to change some things. Well, the first half of that week, Daniel's week, those first 3.5 years, he's going to allow Jews to sacrifice in the temple again in Jerusalem. Do you realize that right now the Sanhedrin has petitioned the Israeli government to allow them to perform a Passover sacrifice there on the Temple Mount in Israel this spring? Right now, February 27th, the article was written in BreakingIsraeliNews.com. You can look it up. They're filing permits and asking for permission to set up a temporary altar on the Temple Mount to perform a lamb sacrifice this spring there in Israel. This will be the first time in over 2,000 years has ever taken place since the second temple was destroyed. If you ask me, it's pretty important. I don't have all the answers. I'm not an expert in all of this. I'm just trying to make the point we're getting scary close to the Lord coming and taking us out of here, church. We're getting very close. I'm not here to try to tell you that coronavirus is a sign of the beginning of the tribulation. I'm not telling you the Lord's going to come back tomorrow. He could, but I can't predict that. I'm not going to try to tell you a date when all this is going to take place. I can't tell you. Nobody else on the earth can tell you that. We have no idea. I'm just sharing with you some things that I've learned myself from my own curiosity. I'm no genius. I learned all this from what I've studied personally, what I've read personally, from other men and their studies. Church, I truly believe we're getting very close to getting out of here. Back to my point tonight. Are you redeeming the time? Are you sharing the gospel? There are lost people in our community here in Craig. If the Lord calls us out of here tonight, the Lord calls a church out of here tonight, and we'll be gone, they will not. And I have to endure all this and much more that I haven't even mentioned tonight. Are you prepared to live with that? Have you done all you can to prevent that from happening to them? Have you personally shared the gospel with them? Are you redeeming the time? These days are evil. Ephesians says, we're getting close to the end. Are you going to be satisfied with what you've done for him? Revelation talks about him wiping away your tears. Why is he wiping away tears? Because apparently we're crying. Why are we crying? I believe it's because we're watching those that we've had the opportunity to witness to, share the gospel with, watching them drop off in the hell. While the saved are over there at a judgment seat, and they're lost to the great white throne of judgment, being cast in hell for their sins and their lack of repentance. Will you be satisfied with what you've done to share the gospel with them while you have the chance? We are running out of time. If you're listening tonight and you're saved, are you ready? I believe I proved pretty well it could come back. He could come back any time now, any second now. Are you ready? Some may say, well, when all that bad stuff happens, I'll believe in it. I'll get saved then. I wish it was that simple. That's not how this works. Even those that reject the gospel now, you will have no chance after the rapture. You say, preacher, how can you say that? 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse number 7. It says, for the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, talking about the Antichrist, and with all deceivableness and of unrighteousness and them that perish, because they received not the love of truth that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them a strong delusion that they shall believe a lie, that they may all be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. That means you believe now while you have a chance. You redeem the time now, because once it's taken out of the way, once the Antichrist come on the scene, you will receive a strong delusion and you will receive a lie because you did not accept the truth of the gospel. If you want to be saved, you're hearing this now. If you reject the truth now, you have no second chance after the rapture of the church. I'll just get saved when that comes to pass. I've heard somebody say before, make sure you don't take the mark of the beast. You're not going to have a choice. You're going to have a strong delusion. You will receive a lie. If you've heard the gospel now, you're going to have a strong delusion. You will receive a lie. You will believe everything the Antichrist says. You're going to trust him. The Lord's going to make you do that. You get saved now, or you will face judgment. Are you ready tonight? Are you satisfied with what you've done for Christ tonight? If this virus does anything for our church, for the church, ought to light a fire in our soul that won't go away. Ought to burden us for our lost neighbors. If there are some in our church that aren't saved, you better get it right while you still can. You better wake up. Don't delay. Redeem the time while we still have some time. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. We're running out of time, church. I don't have all the answers. You may hear me talking about all this. You may think I'm crazy and doomsday prepper or something. None of those things. I'm just trying to pass along the truth that I've found. Are you ready? Are you prepared? Are you willing to meet the Lord with how you are now? Like I said before, and it came to me today, and it convicted me. I'll say it again. If I could predict if I could tell you for sure, Lord will be back at noon tomorrow, what would you do differently between now and then? It's very possible that he could. It's very possible that he would. Are you prepared? Are you ready? Are you redeeming the time? Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this day, Lord. Thank you for his people listening in, Lord, and those who are listening later on. Lord, thank you for our church. Lord, thank you for your scriptures and the truth of the gospel. Lord, thank you for saving my soul. Lord, I pray as any tonight is listening to this or lost, Lord, I pray you save them for us too late. Those that are saved, Lord, I pray you give us a burden that won't go away to reach these lost in our community and beyond. Lord, I pray you have our missionaries tonight. Lord, thank you for all you've done for us in Jesus' name.